morning. Good Chodesh. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Zion. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zechon Shmas Libik Arvela Bashmuel. We are in Vavam Beis, and we are starting a discussion today regarding the requirement to pay and the machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. If you look back at the middle of the Amud on Vavam Beis, the Gemara quotes a brisa, Tanur Rabbanan, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Karmo Yishalem. Torah has a requirement that when you do damage, you have to pay, and the Torah is also exceedingly clear that you have to pay with the best. What the Torah is not exceedingly clear about is the best of whose property, the best of the property of the damager or the damagee. So it's a simple question, and the Brisa brings down a machlokas between the Tanaim. So if you let's just quickly review the Brisa one more time. The Brisa says, I'm going back to the middle of the Amud. We'll start from here. It's the beginning of the Suya. Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Karmo Yishalem. So the Torah says that you have to pay the best of his land and the best of his vineyard, other way around, but either way. So Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Karmo Yishalem. Meitav Sadeo Shel Nizak. Umeitav Karmo Shel Nizak Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, so you pay the best of the land of the Nizak. And Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Ba'al Kasuv Ela Gabos Lezikim Min Ha'Idus. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, that the Torah demands that you have to pay Nezik from the Idus, from the best of the land, which presumably means the best of the land of the Mazik, the one who did the damage. The Kavachomer LeHekdesh, and a Kavachomer extends to Hekdesh as well, which later on in the Gemara we're going to explain exactly what that means. But in the meantime, however, here's how the Machlokas lays out. It's really simple. It's a Machlokas, but here's how the two sides of the machlokas lay out. According to Rabbi Yishmael, when I do damage to somebody's property, the Torah requires me to pay the best, but only the best of his land, not the best of my land. And Rabbi Akiva says, no. When I damage someone else's property, I have to pay the best of my land. Now, in terms of the pasuk itself, whose position reads better in the pasuk? So that's what we're going to discuss right now. Rabbi Yishmael, Achos Shmeinu, now, for the first, the Gemara really struggles to understand Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael, Achol Shmeina Mashalim Shmeina, Achol Chusha Mashalim Shmeina. So the Gemara says, now according to Rabbi Yishmael, it really does make sense because I have to pay the best, and I have to pay the best of his land, even if I don't damage the best of his land. That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Amar Avidi Bar Avin Hachem Ben Ma'iskin Kigon Shachol Aruga Ben Arugos V'lo Yadin An Ikchusha Achol Ishmeina Achol De Mashalim Shmeina. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the scenario over there is where I did damage to rows, and he had staggered rows. Some rows were made up of really good quality, some rows of his property were made up of really poor quality, and my ox went into his field and damaged one of them, and I don't know which one it damaged, and that's where the Torah demands that I have to pay with my best, or I should say rather with his best, with his idis. So Amar Rava, Umay Ilo Yadinan Dechusha Achol La Mishalam El Chusha Hashad Lo Yadinan Ikchusha Achol Ishmeina Achol Mishalam Shmeina Motim Chaver Ol Avaraya. So like we said yesterday, and like we're reviewing today, that's absurd. Meaning that if I don't know if I damaged either his best or his worst, and if I damaged his worst, I wouldn't have to pay Meitav, I wouldn't have to pay the best. So you're telling me now, in the case of Suffolk, we're going to err on the side of, well, maybe I did the most damage, and therefore I have to pay him the most. That's not how money works. When it comes to money, I'm Motzi Mechaver Ol Avaraya. If you're extracting money from me, now granted, I need to pay you. In other words, I damaged. I understand that. But if you're extracting money from me, you need positive proof, 100% positive proof that I owe you this amount of money. And once it's a suffix, and the choices are either I owe you $100 or $80, just throwing out numbers, if I owe you $100 or $80, of course, I'm only and we don't know which one it is, and you're extracting money from me, of course I'm only going to pay you $80. I'm not going to pay you $100. I'm motzi mechaver ol avaraya. You can't take money from me unless you know that I owe you the money. So Allah Mervacha by Yaakov Hacha by my skin and kigon Shaisa Idis and Izik me kizibors de mazik vahapligi. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's how the machlokas is now going to lay out between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. We're talking about a scenario where the one who was damaged, his best property is good, but relative to what else he has, it's the best that he's got. But the mazik, from the mazik's perspective, it's not that good. Meaning the mazik's got much better properties. So now the question becomes as follows. Where's the cap? Where's the ceiling in terms of whose best am I going to pay? So Rabbi Yishmael says, Rabbi Denizak Shaminan. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, you go with the Nizak, meaning that's his best property, that's the cap. I'm not going to be any better than his best property. Now his best property is equivalent to my worst property. Okay, But as far as the Torah is concerned, the Torah says that I have to pay him back, and I have to pay him back with his best property, and his, according to Rabbi Shmuel, means the one who was damaged. And Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Demazik Shaminan. And according to Rabbi Akiva, no. The cap on terms of quality is not going to be based on the damage, but it's going to be based on the damager, the Mazik. So therefore, I pay him with my best property. Even though my best property is far better than his best property, what the Torah demands of me is that I have to pay with my best property. So this is now the way the Gemara spells out the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. When we say, when the Torah says that you have to pay with the best, so it's all understood that I'm only going to be paying for the damage I have done. And obviously, in terms of an appraisal, I'm not going to pay any more value than the damage I've done, but in terms of the quality of property, so whose quality are we looking at? The Torah says the best. His best meaning the one who got damaged, or my best, the one who did the damage. So Rabbi Shmuel says the Nizak, and Rabbi Kiva says the Mazik. Okay. And the scenario in which they're going to have a debate is talking about where the qualities are not in alignment. So his property, his best property, is really my worst property. So now, whose do I have to pay? His best or my worst? Oh, I'm sorry. His best or my best? So the Gemara says, now let's see how all this reads into the Pesukim. My Tatman de Rabbi Yishmael. Now, even before we start, as the Gemara itself is going to point out in just a second, when you read the Pesuk inside, the Pesuk really comes out much better like Rabbi Akiva. And even aside from the Pesuk, even if you just think about it logically, I damaged his property. The Torah says, okay, now you have to pay the best. If we didn't know the Gemara today, if we didn't sit down together and learn yesterday's daf, today's daf, if we had not done so, and I would have asked you, well, who's right? Meaning, when the Torah says you pay the best, I would have said, as probably would have you, of course Rabbi Kiva's right. Meaning, I'm the one who aggrieved the party. I'm the one who damaged. Of course I have to pay using my best property. The Torah is basically looking at me and saying, you needed to be more careful. You damaged somebody else's property. You have to now make restitution. And furthermore, you're going to give them good quality property as restitution. So really, if you think about it, the simple pshat in the Torah really favors Rabbi Akiva. And with that being stated, so now the Gemara is really addressing, I mean, the Gemara doesn't state the question this way, but this is essentially what the Gemara is asking. How do you understand Rabbi Shmuel? Like, what's behind the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that you pay the best, but don't worry, you only have to pay his best, not your best? Why should that be? So he can, what we're going to do, we're going to discuss in just a moment, what if there's no match? Well, the Gemara's going to get to that.
You could always pay with money.
Right? Well, that's later. Meaning, right now, yes, you're right. But right now, the Gemara is just fixated on the appraisal of properties, on the quality of properties.
But implicit in Rabbi Akiva is the notion of knas, even though it's not stated.
That's what makes Rabbi Akiva make much more sense. Right, because you damage, therefore you need to give up your best property. Rabbi Kiva is just the simplest way to look at the Torah, and so the Gemara now is going to discuss what's behind Rabbi Shmuel. So, Rabbi Yishmael Almer, Sada Lamata Nemar, Sada Lamata, Lamala, Masada Amor Lamala Denizak, Asada Amor Lamata Denizak. So, according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's really Gzeira Shava, meaning we're not going to read the simple pshat in the Torah. The simple pshat in the Torah really favors Rabbi Akiva. What we're going to do over here is basically say, look, the Torah says the word sada twice. Actually, it's in the same pasuk. In the beginning of the pasuk, obviously, whose field are we talking about? Obviously, the one who was damaged. Meaning, your animal went into somebody else's property and damaged his property. So the Torah is describing, the first sada used in the pasuk is obviously describing his property. Then the Torah says, and you have to pay with metav sadehu. So staying on point, so Rabbi Yishmael says, well, if the first sada is a reference to the one who was damaged, the second sada is also talking about the one who was damaged. Now again, it's not intuitive. It's not what we would have thought the Torah would have wanted, but you have a Gzeirah Shavah. So basically what the Gzeirah Shavah is doing is it's upending the simple pshat in the Torah. So Rabbi Akiva, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kamar Shalem, Dehach Tekam Shalem. And Rabbi Akiva says, the Gemara doesn't even need to make such a strong argument for Rabbi Akiva. It's kind of self-evident. Rabbi Akiva says, you know when the Torah is saying you pay with the best property? Well, who's paying? obviously the one who did the damage. And so when the Torah says, and he pays with his best property, it's talking about the one who's paying, not the one who's receiving. So really, the simple pshat favors Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel, hani kuzer shava hani kra. So the Gemara says, now as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, Rabbi Shmuel is going to be dismissing the simple pshat in the Torah. So the Gemara over here gives a slightly nuanced explanation of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, look, I think my gzera shava is correct. I also think the simple pshat in the Torah is correct as well. Meaning there are going to be occasions where we're going to assess based on the quality of property of the one who is damaged. And there's going to be scenarios where we're going to be assigning on the quality of the damager. And how is all this going to work according to Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel, ahani gzera shava anikra. Ahani gzera shava kedaka amina. Now, as far as the gzera shava is concerned, we said already. Meaning, I damaged my friend's property. His best is my worst. And it's a match. Meaning, we looked at his best property, assessed it qualitatively. It's a perfect match with my worst property. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, well, okay, I only need to pay with my worst property because, again, the Torah says, Metav Sadehu, and based on the Gzera Shava, we're going to work with his best, and his best is matching with my worst. And so therefore, that's what I'm going to pay, using my worst property because it is his best. Now, Ahani Kra Kigon De Islay Lamazik Edis of Viziboris. So let's now talk about a scenario where we're going to go with the simple pshat in the Torah. And that's going to be the following. The Mazik has Edis Viboris. He's got an A and he's got a C. And the Edis Lenizak Viziboris the Mazik Loshavya. Ki Edis Lenizak. So now I damaged my friend's property, and now Basin comes along and Basin does an assessment. His best property falls somewhere between my A and my C. It's better than my C, but it's not as good as my A. And so now the question becomes the following. So now I have to pay, and I have to pay with the best. But you see, now my C is less than his best. My A is much better than his best. And so now where we don't have a match, I have no property of mine, the damager, that matches any of his properties. And in fact, his property falls right in the middle. So now, basically, the question is, do I round up or do I round down?
According to Rabbi Shmuel.
It's all according to Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Lo shaviki desenizak, demesham leimi mitav didei. So here is where we're going to go with the simple pshat in the Torah. We're always going to round up in favor of the nizak. Meaning the mazik is going to have to pay his best quality property. Because here the mazik can't say to the nizak, well, look, I understand your best property is better than my C, but it's not as good as my A, so you know what? You'll take my C. So there Rabbi Shmuel says, no. The mazik does not have the right to say that. Once the damagee's property exceeds the damager's C, you got to go up to A. Elagabi Meitav, so there you have to go to Meitav. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, basically it's a blended shita, meaning it comes out now that Rabbi Shmuel is not so absolute. He's not saying that we always look at the best quality of the one who was damaged. We are going to have a blended position according to Rabbi Shmuel. Sometimes you're going to pay with the best of the nizak, the one who was damaged, and that's going to be where his best property matches with your worst property. Then you are able to pay with your worst, and because it matches his best. However, once his best is somewhere between your best and your worst, so we're going to round up. And that goes with the simple pshat in the Torah. That's Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Now again, Rabbi Kiva over here is a lot simpler. Rabbi Kiva says, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Kamo, you, the damager, are always going to have to pay with your best. And the Knas explanation is, I'm not calling it a Knas per se, but we understand intuitively, you damaged, the Torah wants you to pay with your best property because you damaged. Rabbi Kiva Omer Laba Kasav El Lagavas Nazikim in Aziboris, the Kavacham La Hektesh. We move on to the Gemara, and now the Gemara wants to know, what did Rabbi Akiva mean when he said, Kavacham La Hektesh? And a logical argument can be deducted in terms of, what if I damage Hektesh? What did Rabbi Akiva mean by that? So, my Kavachomer, that's the Gemara's question. It's really straightforward. My Kavachomer La Hektesh. Elam Adanagach Tor Didan, Latur De Hektesh. Well, let's say the following. My animal went out and it gored. And it, what did it gore? An animal that belonged to Hektesh. Okay? We had a couple years ago, we had a legal question here in America, whether corporations are people. Okay? So, the Lahavdil, but basically, if you have an animal that belongs to Hektesh, So it belongs to Hektish Incorporated. So now, if my property damages somebody else's property, right, another person, so obviously I have to pay. That's what the Torah expects from me. What if my property damages, what if my ox damages an ox that belongs to Hektish? Do I need to pay, yes or no? So the answer is, and I know this is not so intuitive, the answer is no. I don't have to pay. Because the Torah says, Ben knows the psukim, because the Torah says, Re'ehu. Because the Torah only demands that I have to make restitution for damages when I damage my friend's property. But as far as the base of Mekdash is concerned, I don't have to pay. So the Gemara says, so now that we know this halacha, we have no idea what Rabbi Kiva is talking about. Rabbi Kiva says, and this is going to be a Kavah Chomer to Hektish. What are you talking about? The Gemara says, "Ilem de nagachsor di dan l'torah de hektish shoreo amarechman of lo shor shel hektish." The Torah says shoreo, not shor shel hektish. Allah. So the Gemara says, "So what are we even saying? What is Rabbi Kiva saying? Kavachomer to hektish." So the Gemara says, "Okay, maybe it goes like this: Hare alai mana labedakabai." So a person makes a declaration, a pledge. Okay, got to shul, went to Ganalia, and he says, "Great, I'm now going to give." I'm going to give 100 zuz to the base of Mikdash. Okay, so now he's on the hook. So the Asi gives bar v'shakal mi'idus. So the Gemara says, so now what Rabbi Kiva is teaching us is that just like when I damage somebody else's property, I have to pay the best. So if I owe money to the base of Mikdash based on a personal pledge that I made, so I got to pay the base of Mikdash with the best property. The Gizbar is going to come to my house, collect on my pledge, take property, and which one? He'll take the A property. So the Gemara says, why in the world should that be? Lo yehei ela balchov ubalchov gover ubalchov bebeinus. So the Gemara says, no. In other words, I didn't in a case where I made a pledge, so now I have an obligation. Now, in terms of outstanding obligations, so once again, this takes us back to Gittin. This takes us back to the fifth parak of Gittin. We've seen this already. We'll say it again right now. And that is that whenever you have standard obligations, so you pay with Bainerness. You pay with B property. You don't pay with A property. So I have an obligation to the base of Mikdash. I understand. It's a strong obligation. But when all said and done, it's an obligation. It's not reimbursement for damages. It's a simple obligation. And therefore, the only thing I need to pay was beinanis, because that's the halacha. Ubachov bebeinanis. V'chitemus of Rabbi Kiva, kobachov, namikidis. So the Gemara says, now maybe you'll tell me, well, Rabbi Kiva just disagrees with that halacha. And the Baal Chol pays with itis. So ikal mifrach mala Baal Chol sheken yafa kocho benizikin. Tomer behekte shahara kocho benizikin. But the Gemara says, but even if that's true, but you can't make a kavachomer because consider, when I damage Hektish's property, how much do I have to pay? Zero. If I owe the Beis HaMikdash money on a standard obligation, you want to tell me now through a kavachomer that I need to pay with Idis? I'm going to be totally exempt if I damage. And now, if I owe money I have to pay with Idis, I can't make a kavachomer to that end. You want to tell me that Rabbi Kiva holds that way? That's fine. But you can't tell me that a kavachomer, a logical deduction, is going to get me to that point, because logic would say otherwise. Logic would say, I don't have to pay for damages, and now for an obligation, I have to pay them the best. There's no logic in that. So the Gemara says, so we don't understand what we now lost a pshat in Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva says, and a logical argument can be extended to Hektish. What logical argument are we talking about? La'olam de'nagach tur didan l'tur de'hektish. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to the drawing board and go back to our first proposal, which is my ox damaged the ox that belongs to Hektish. And we have to make one now important insertion. Now, we didn't like that because we know that you're exempt when you damage Hektish's property. So to that, the Gemara says that Rabbi Kiva follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya. The time Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya Omer, Shoshal Hektish and Agar Shoshal Hejot, Pater. If Shoshal Hektish damages your property, so the base of Hektish is Pater. And shor shal hedjo shenagach shor shal hektish bein tam bein mu'ud mishalem nezek shalem. Now, if my ox were to damage the ox of Hektish, not only do I have to pay, according to Rav Shimon Manasya, it goes even further than that. I have to pay, and I have to make full restitution. Now, we're going to say this time and again, and this is going to be, as we go through the first couple of prakim of Baba Kama, we're going to keep hearing this again and again. When my ox gores, that is an unusual action that took place. And therefore the Torah cuts me a break. I don't have to pay full damages. I only have to pay chatzi nezek. I only have to pay half the damages because it's so unusual and it's so unexpected. However, according to Rabbi Shimon Manasya, when my ox gores, the ox that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and even if it's the first time, I have to pay nezek shalim. That is the opinion of Shimon ben Manasya. So now, if we align Rabbi Akiva with the position of Shimon ben Manasya, so now we get it. So now it comes out that Rabbi Akiva holds that if I damage somebody else's property, my friend's property, I have to pay not only nezek, I have to pay the damages, but using the best property. Now if I damage the property of the Beis HaMikdash, I for sure, now you understand the logical deduction, I for sure have to pay using Idis. And why is it a kavachomer? Because think about what we just learned together. Because generally speaking, if my ox gores somebody else's ox, I only have to pay half damages. When my ox gores the ox of the Beis HaMikdash, I have to pay full damages. Okay. Now that I have to pay full damages, it should go without saying that I have to pay also using Idis, using my best property. So it works out great. Meaning what happened with Re'ehu is that I only am cut a break when I damage my friend's property. But when I damage the Beis HaMikdash's property, so now it's a different set of rules. All Re'ehu is telling us is that there's a different set of rules between damaging my friend's property and damaging the Beis HaMikdash.
Correct.
Exactly correct.
Regarding Re'ehu, does the Beis HaMikdash have to be made whole? So in other words, if I touch that the specific animal, that animal gets damaged, do I still owe the Beit HaMikdash, or is that because I made?
You're conflating two issues. In other words, there's an obligation, then there's damages.
Correct.
If you have an obligation, you have to pay the obligation.
I understand, but if someone comes and damages, and they don't have to pay for that damaged property, do I now in turn have to pay the Beit HaMikdash?
No. You have an obligation. Once you have an obligation, you're on the hook for your obligation.
No, it depends on whether somebody has damages your ox before you gave it to the business.
So then you... Two different... Let's discuss it. You're mixing up the two issues.
Well, I'm asking only because if they don't have to pay the damage for the Hegdish property, does the person who had the place have to pay it? And therefore, it would make sense.
Come to me after. We'll discuss it after. So, Ihachi, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel over Rabbi Akiva, Mimai, Debeidus, and Izak, Viziboros, the Mazik, Ligi, Dilma. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we're at this point in time. Where basically we have Rabbi Akiva really taking a totally, not new position, but different position regarding damaging the property of the Beis HaMikdash. Where now we have Rabbi Akiva lined up with Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, that if I damage the property of the Beis HaMikdash, I have to pay. So the Gemara says, so now let's go back to the Braisa. And now essentially what the Gemara is going to say is, you know, we thought that the entire debate in the Braisa was a question of, when I damage my friend's property, do I need to pay with his best, with my best? You know, if we revisit the Braisa one more time, which we're doing right now, it could very well be that the entire debate in the Braisa has nothing to do with me damaging my friend's property and is exclusively about me damaging the property of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what the Gemara now is suggesting. E hachi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, mi mai debi idus nizek viziboros tamazik pligi. How do we know that they're arguing about his property is not the is equivalent, his best property is equivalent to my worst property? Maybe that has nothing to do with the debate. Dilma dekuliyama b'dinizek shaminan. It could very well be that in terms of assessment, we're going to follow the best property of the one who was damaged. And really, the entirety of the debate between Rabbi Kiv and Rabbi Shmuel is just a simple question of, when I damage Hektish's property, do I need to pay yes or no? And we're going to have Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva aligned with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, and Rabbi Shmuel Sever Karabanan, and Rabbi Shmuel holds like the Chachamim. And maybe that's the totality of the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel of the Braisa. The Gemara, although suggesting it, the Gemara immediately rejects it, and there are a lot of reasons to reject the suggestion. MK, number one, the Gemara says, Milo Ba Kosov. First of all, they're arguing about the pasuk. And the pasuk in question is clearly talking about me damaging my friend's property. So that's number one. V'od, my kavachomer lahekdesh. And then in the braisa we said, and from here we could take a step towards hekdesh. Well, if they're arguing about hekdesh, we're not taking a step towards hekdesh. We're talking about Hekdesh. And so you see from the Braitha that they're not principally talking about Hekdesh. And Va'od Ha'am Ravashi Tanya Behedya. And the Gemara says, and for a third reason, we're going to reject this out of hand because we have another Braitha. And this Braitha could not say it any clearer. Meitav Sadeh Meitav Kamo Yishalem. The Torah says, when I damage my friend's property, I have to pay with the best. Meitav Sadeh Shal Nizak. Meitav Kamo Shal Nizak. Div Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we assessed it based on the property of the one who was damaged. And Rabbi Kiva, Omer, Meitav Sadeo Shal Mazik, and Meitav Kamo Shal Mazik. And according to Rabbi Kiva, it is the best of the Mazik, not that of the Nizak. Adkan. So basically, we are left with only one explanation of the Braisa. So again, let's just recap what we learned. According to the Braisa, let's start from the Torah. According to the Torah, when I damage somebody else's property, I have to pay with Meitav. I have to pay with the best. I therefore need to make restitution using the best. Again, like we said from the beginning, but just to reiterate, it doesn't mean I'm paying more money. It means that in terms of quality, the quality has to come from the best property. In terms of the value is going to be whatever we're going to make an appraisal in terms of how much I damage. We're going to make an appraisal on the property, and they're obviously going to be a match. The only question in we're discussing over here is which quality property am I going to have to pay with? So the Torah is demanding that I have to pay with the best quality. And now the only question is, well, who's best quality? The best quality of the one who damaged, or the one who did the damage, or the one who was damaged? The Mazik or the Nizak? And here we have a machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva is the easiest position to explain. Rabbi Kiva says the one who did the damage, you have to pay with his best quality of property. And again, it's intuitive, as we discussed earlier. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you pay with the best of the Nizak. But as we explained in the Gemara, Ediv Rabbi Shmuel's position is a blended position. Meaning, if the quality of the Nizak, the one who was damaged, if his A property is an equivalent match to the quality of the damager's C's property, if A and C are aligned, so then the one who did the damage only needs to pay with C, because that is a match for the damagee's A. Then, Rabbi Shmuel says, if let's say it's not a match, let's say the A property of the one who was damaged is somewhere between A and C of the one who did the damage, so then the damager has to round up, not round down. Adkan, that takes us to what we learned so far, and the remainder of today's daf is going to deal with a really simple question. A question which I addressed actually yesterday, and a question which Rashi addressed already in the beginning of the perek, the beginning of the Masechta. In fact, it's one of the first Rashis in the Mishnah, where essentially, if I damage your property, it sounds pretty clear from the discussion we'd have up from the beginning of this morning to this point, from this point in time, that I have to pay back using property. Meaning the reimbursement of all damages has to come in the form of property. And moreover, it has to come from the best property. I can't go into my wallet. I can't take out some dollar bills. I can't pay with money. Or I can't give other commodities to make reimbursement for the damages that I did. In other words, the only way I can make restitution is only with property. And just to bring this to its illogical conclusion, and what if I don't have properties? Then I don't have to make reimbursement? Or do I have to go buy properties so that I can reimburse? So I have to reimburse for the damage I did? Meaning, okay, and aside from all that, as the Gemara now is about to point out, there's another pasuk in the Torah which seems to indicate that all I have to do is reimburse, and it doesn't matter what commodity I use to make the reimbursement. So the Gemara now expresses this very. This is a question. Ramile Abai LaRava. The assumption I will always make is that we go like Rabbi Akiva, especially when it's Rabbi Akiva Mechaveiro, right? The Rabbi Akiva is above the Chaver. I assume so. Okay. Rabbi Kiva, well, no, that's a different issue. No, Hedy was asking about, just generally speaking, who's Meitav, the damager or the damagee? And to that, so Rabbi Kiva says the damager. I assume that's Allah. I didn't look up the Rambam. You'll forgive me. Okay. That's thank you. So so here we go. The Gemara starts off. Ramile Abaye LaRava. So we have this as a discussion between Abaye and Rava. Abaye The Rami means that he poses one pasuk up against another pasuk, and it goes like this. So the Torah says that you have to pay with property, and that sounds like that when you reimburse, you can only reimburse with property. And on the other hand, we have another pasuk in the Torah says that when you do damage, so the Baal Habor, Yishalem, I'm reading the pasuk. Baal Habor, Yishalem, Kesef, Yashiv Labala Vamesi Alo. That when my pit did damage to somebody else's property, so Yashiv. And Yashiv means I have to reimburse. And La Rabba Shava Kesef. So anything that has value can serve as tender towards the damage that I did. Ve'afilu Subin. And even if it's bran, meaning something that is generally speaking animal feed, as long as it has a value, that will serve as reimbursement. And so here we are now at basically an impasse. When I damage someone else's property, do I have to reimburse with property? Or let me be clear about the right. Let me be clear about the point I was about to make, because I see how I use property twice with right. When I damage somebody else's anything, his money, his assets, his anything. Okay, do I have to pay back using my real estate, or when I pay back, I could use anything I want? And here the Torah seems to be ambiguous. On one hand, the Torah uses the words "metav sadeo, metav kamo," which means that I have to pay back. I have to make reimbursement with real estate, and specifically my best real estate. And the other pasuk says "yashiv," which indicates that I can reimburse with any commodity as long as it has a value, and obviously as long as the value is equivalent to the damage that I did. That's a problem. And that's such a problem that we're going to be spending the rest of today's daf and even some of tomorrow's daf discussing a possible resolutions of this issue of what does the Torah want me to reimburse with. So here we go now. This is our first suggestion in terms of how to make good with these two psukim. So lo kasha kami da to kamba kocha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe one way to resolve this issue is the following. If I pay back with no complications whatsoever, I don't give him a hard time. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi over here says, midato.
They don't sue you.
All right? Sorry. All right. So, Yishalem Mashma Ayudei Acher in the Bezin. Yordin lematamazik aval yishalem mashma nami midato. Sorry, right. So the mashma ayude acherim de beizdin yordin lenechasav demazik. Right. So from Rashi it sounds like midato means we didn't even go to beizdin. Meaning, all right, my car slammed into your car, which means my car. Meaning, let me take responsibility. So I hit your car. So midato means okay. Let's go to the body shop. You'll give me an appraisal and I'll pay back. So if it's midato, so then I can pay back using anything I want. Any commodity, anything that has a value, again as long as the value of it is equivalent to the damage I did. However, Bal Karcho, if let's say he needs to schlep me to Beis Din because I don't want to pay. And he says, okay, I'm going to take you to court. And he has to force me and drag me to court. So then I have to pay using property. That is the first suggestion of the Gemara. Amar Ula Bereder of Eli, Dekanami Dechsev Yishalem Bakacha. So the Gemara says, and I think this is a correct shot, because if you look carefully, if you read carefully in the Torah, when describing the paying back with real estate, the Torah says, Yishalem. That is a verb that is a forceful verb, meaning that you're being forced to pay. So Amalei Abaye Miksiv Yishulam. So Abaye says, look, if it's a grammar issue, I'll tell you what. I'm only going to be convinced if the Torah would have said Yishulam. Because Yishulam means others are causing me to pay. Then I would have agreed with you that this is a good way to explain the Torah. But Yishalem say, midato. But the word Yishalem means as a verb, I paid volitionally. I paid on my own accord. So Abaye says, don't try to impress me with the grammar. I don't think the grammar really speaks to this idea that you were being forced to base in. Midato mashma. Ela amar Abaye kidamar. So now Abaye is going to give what he believes is the correct pshat. So again, What we are addressing today, and this is what we're going to be addressing for the rest of today and into tomorrow as well, is a simple question of, when I damage and I make reimbursement, do I have to pay with real estate, which is one way the Torah indicates, Meitav Sadeh or Meitav Kamo, or can I pay back using anything that has value because the Torah says Yashiv? So what does the Torah expect of me when I damage? So the Gemara says, well, here's what we're going to do. We are going to, now Abai is going to offer, we offered one pshat, the Gemara rejected out of hand, and now Abai is going to offer now a second pshat. Before we start with the second pshat, let me just give a couple words of introduction. In America, we have the concept of what's called the poverty line. It's not a new idea, it's an old idea, and if you're below the poverty line, so then you have a certain, you have rights of entitlement to receive gifts. And basically, that's how the Torah functions. Meaning, the Torah gives many opportunities for the farmer to be giving food to the aniyim, and in order to be a qualified ani to receive to receive matanos, you have to be underneath the poverty line. The poverty line in the time of the Mishnah was drawn at 200 zuz. If you have a total net portfolio of anything above 200 zuz, so then you are above the poverty line and you're not entitled. If your net asset is below 200 zuz, so then you are below the poverty line and therefore you're entitled. Okay. Once you're below the poverty line and you have an entitlement, you can receive a gift, and that gift can far exceed 200 zuz. It could be 1,000 zuz. Meaning, once you're below the poverty line, you can receive a one-time gift. I know I sound like an accountant right now, but it's fine. Meaning, that's exactly the point. Once you're below the poverty line, you could receive a one-time gift of any amount that anyone wants to gift you. Because again, you were eligible. And once you reached eligibility, so you can receive whatever you want. Obviously, that gift, that singular gift, is going to put you over the poverty line. But at that point in time, there's no cap to how much you could be receiving at one time. That's your basic...
Who make the assessment that this property is less than...
Well,
I'm
not sure. The process itself, I don't know the details regarding the process, to be fair. In other words, I know the basic abstract rules, like I'm presenting it, but in terms of the precise process of who qualifies, do you need a letter? I don't know those details. So the but those are the basics that we need to know going forward. Kidamar detanya, hare shayulo batim sados ukramim ve'eino motzei lamachram. Let's say a person does have properties, but no liquidity. And furthermore, the properties that he has, he right now can't sell them for reasons which we're going to articulate better in just a moment. So, ma'achilna sol ma'isar ani ad mechsa. So now what we're going to do is we're going to give him ma'isar ani. We're going to give him that which an ani is entitled to, but only up to half of his property. Now, that contradicts what I said just a couple moments ago. Because I mentioned that when you're below the poverty line, so then there is no cap in terms of how much you can receive. And this Mishnah is telling us that if he's got properties, and let's say the properties are 200 zuz, just for argument's sake, which means that he's above the poverty line, right above it, he's at the poverty, meaning he doesn't qualify. So then you can give him money, but you have to cap it to only half of that which he has. To which now we're basically going to ask the question, I don't understand. Either you're eligible or you're not eligible. If you're eligible, you can get whatever you want. If you're not eligible, you can get nothing. So what is this idea that we're giving him, but we're capping?
You're giving him enough to bring him up to 200.
Yeah, exactly. You're giving him enough to get up to 200. But again, fundamentally, is he or is he not eligible? Because if he is, there's no cap. And if he's not, he gets zero. So where do we stand? The Havi Ba'amar. And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to deal with. And my master said, my master, meaning this is Abai talking, his master's Rabbah. So Rabbah says, Hey Chidami, Ihuzal Arata de Kole Ama, Vidide Namizal. So again, we know how properties work. We've been around, we watch. Properties go up, properties go down. So if everybody's property now declined and the market is really weak, so that means then his property is currently not valued at 200. Fine. That is just simply a predicament that everyone's experiencing. And so therefore, Nami Zal Ba'adayu. Afilu Tuva Nami Lispelei. And if that's true, so then he is currently eligible. And furthermore, you can give him whatever you want. in a one-time gift. And Vahazil, I'm sorry, the Hazil to Kulei Amma, Nami. Ella de Okir, Adaite de Kulei Amma, Vidide, Aidi de Ayo Venafik, Azuze Zal Are. So the Gemara says, well, it must be as follows. It must be that objectively his property is above 200 zuz. It must be. Everyone else's property is doing great. His property objectively is very good. However, people know that he's in a really distressed state. And people know, therefore, people are not offering him the objective value of his property. People are trying to short him on his right and bargain with him on the property that he has. So then, afilu porta name lo lisvele. So if his properties are objectively 200 zuz and above, and it just happens to be that he has a personal situation which is just simply not affording him to receive fair value to it, but fair value is 200 zuz, so then he's simply not eligible. And if he's not eligible, so then he should be able to receive nothing. So the Gemara says, afilu porta name lo lisvele. The Amramar. So basically, how did you understand this Mishnah that tells us, well, you can give him, but you have to cap it up to 200 zuz? Again, either the question is very simple. Either he's eligible or he's not eligible. And either his property is not valued at 200 zuz, and therefore he's eligible, or his property is valued at 200 zuz, and therefore he's not eligible. So where? How do you understand this Mishnah? So the Amar Mar, and this is Rabbi now quoting his Rebbe, Rabba, and he says, Amar Rab, Amar Mar Allah, Lo Tzricha, Debiyuma Nisa Nikara Adaite, Uviyama Tishrei, I'm sorry, Yuma Nisa Nikare Arase, sorry, didn't bring my glasses today, Uviyama Tishrei Zal Arate. So the Gemara says, the property fluctuates in price seasonally. And in the month of Nisan, prices are up. Prices are higher. In the month of Tishrei, prices are lower. Now, why exactly is there a price fluctuation? And why Nisan does the can you fetch a better price? If you take a look at Rashi over here, so Rashi says, "Mimnei shalokeach near v'chor." I'm sorry, near v'chorish osam biyamos hakayitz and v'zaran b'tishrei. Because when you buy property, now we are not an agricultural economy, and we don't think agriculturally, so we don't think in these terms, but we're explaining a Mishnah, and the Mishnah basically goes like this. When you buy properties in the month of Tishrei, so no, I'm sorry, let's go back to Nisan. When you buy properties in the month of Nisan, so now that gives you the opportunity to plow the field, and apparently the plowing of the field takes a long time, and now when you get to the fall, when you get to the autumn, you can plant. Remember in Israel, there's one season in which you plant, and that's the winter. But you just can't go into a property at the beginning of the winter and just start planting. You have to prepare the property. You have to prepare the land. And the preparation of the land can only take place during the summer. So in the summertime, you're going to plow the field. And so that means now in the wintertime, you can plant. So if you're buying property in the summertime, so in the beginning of the summer, Nisan, so now people know that this is the time to buy property. And so therefore, property values are going to go up. Masha ain't Cain, if you're buying properties in the winter, nobody really wants it because you're not going to be able to go into the land and plant during that time, so property values go down. Fine. And now Tosus points out over here, this is a good explanation for fields. It's not really a great explanation in terms of houses. Okay. All we need to know right now is this idea that property values go up and down based on seasonally. Now that we know that, so here's going to be our explanation of the Mishnah regarding Matanos Aniyim. And by the way, all this because we're going to come around full circle, and then we're going to say a pshat in terms of Nezek. But first, let's go through this inside. Dekule Amenatri Ad Nisan Umezavni. Now, as far as what people do, people know. Meaning, this is all cyclical. People know that if you're going to be selling property, you're going to be selling property in the month of Nisan. You're not going to be selling month of Tishrei, so everyone waits till Nisan. V'hai ho v'itzrich le'zuzei zaben k'dahashta. Now, this person over here, he needs it. He needs the money now. He's really desperate. So he's ready to sell property at the current price. So now, we get to ask the question once again. Is he eligible or is he not eligible? That's the question that we get to ask. So if his property is valued at 200 zuz, he's not eligible. His property is below, so then he's eligible. And here's the rub. His property is valued at 200 zuz.
But he has to sell now.
But that's only if he can wait till Nisan. Right. But he needs to sell it now. So now, to the question of eligibility, so now we understand where he exists somewhere in the middle of being eligible and not being eligible. Is the property valued at 200 zuz? Yeah. But only if he can wait. But he can't. So now, basically what you can do is you can give him kind of like a bridge gift. Meaning, he is only qualified to receive up to half of the properties. Meaning, let's assume that in the month of Nisan, the property will be at 200 zuz. And now, at the current Tishrei market, at worst it's going to be 100 zuz. So basically what you can do is you can bridge him to get from the 100 to 200. This is the pshat in the Mishnah regarding the ani. So ad paga orche lemezo. Tfei lav orche lemezo. The Gemara says that generally speaking, property will not devalue more than half of its high of its peak. Ve'hachanami gabi nizikin. Now that we've said that pshat regarding the Mishnah regarding Maaser Ani, so now we're going to give a very similar pshat over here. Again, the question that we've been dealing with since basically the beginning of the daf today is, when I damage, how do I reimburse? With land or using any commodity and anything that has value? So the Gemara says, Gabin Nezikin, Dina Be'idis, V'i Amarlei, Iyo Havlei Beinonis, Tfei Purta. So let's say the following. Let's say that I damaged somebody else's property. And look, right now, he's coming over to me and he says, look, either give me Idis, give me the best property, or give me a little bit more of the Beinonis. I'm Arlay. And so the Mazik now is going to be saying to the Nizak, here's what we're going to do. Isha kid kidinech shkol kidahashta. Look, right now, we're in the month of Tishrei, and property prices are lower. So if you're going to take now, that's fine. V'ilo shakel ki yukra delakame. However, if you're insisting that you don't want the itis, but you want the beninis, I'll give you beninis, but not on the current market, but based on the future market. Again, we all understand that there's a seasonal flow to the properties, and we all understand that when we get to the month of Nisan, the property values are going to go up. That means that I need to give you less property in order to match the damage that I did. So if you want to collect now, so fine. So and you want to collect from the Idis, that's fine. But if you want to collect from anything below Idis, so then we can go with a future price. That's going to be now our suggestion of how to balance between Meitav Sadehu versus Yashiv. So Maskev LaRevada Bar Yaakov Imkein Harata Kochon Shal Nizakin Eitzel Beinonis V'Ziboros. So the Gemara says, really? That's going to be the pshat? So basically what you've done is you've undermined the value, or not the value, but the power of the Nizak. Meaning objectively, what is the Torah essentially saying? Make good on the damage that you did. And make good meaning, pay the best. And now what you're telling me is that the Mazik has an ability at a certain point in time to basically shortchange, I guess is the right way to say it, but yeah, shortchange a little bit the Nizak. Because the Torah is very clear, the Torah says you have to pay the best. V'at amart, mibeinon is v'ziboros nami, lo. And the Torah says that if you're paying with Beinonis and if you're paying with Ziboris, so then you don't have to pay based on the current, but you can pay it based on a future market. And even though that means that you're going to be paying a little bit less, so what basically the Gemara is saying is, I don't really think this is a way to explain the steerer between the Psukim of Yashiv versus Meitav Sadeo. So Ela Amar of Achav Bar Yaakov Iika Lidmuya LeBachov Medamin Lei. So what we're going to do right now for the next couple of minutes is that we're basically going to take a short detour. Meaning, this idea of, I'm going to pay the current market value, or we'll go on the next season's market value. Meaning, again, we know the price is going to fluctuate based on the season. I'm going to pay based on the current market value or the future market value, and based on how, which grade property I'm going to pay. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we could do is we could take that concept and apply it not to damages, because the Torah by damages wants you to pay meitav, but we'll apply it to, let's say, bachov, a simple obligation. Bachov dinei bebeinonis. So the Gemara says, when it comes to bachov, so you have to pay bebeinonis. The amalei havli zibaris, tfei porta, and if the the lender says, you know what, don't pay me with beinonis, but I'm okay you paying me with zibaris. And but I'd like a little. Obviously, I want more of the zibaris. So amalei. So here, the borrower could say to the creditor, ishalke b'dinech shakol. Look, if you want to take beinonis, so we'll go with the current market value. Kidahashta v'ilo shkil ki yukra d'lakamei. However, if you want zibaris, we're going to project the market at the high point, and therefore I'm going to give you less zibaris. So maskev la ravacha b'ravika im kein alta delat bifnei lovin. The amalei ilo havali zuzei havishakli gedahasha hashta de zuzei gabech eshkol ki yukur de la kame. And again, the Gemara says I'm going to reject this also out of hand, because please consider that now essentially you have given power to the borrower, where the borrower can now say, yeah, I'll pay you back, and I'll pay you back with property, but only based on the future market value, not on the current market value. So now, if the borrower has that kind of leverage, so who's going to want to lend in the future?
Nobody.
Right. In other words, the lender wants to know that he's going to get paid back, and not only get paid back, but with beinonis property at the current market value. And if the lender does not get paid back with that, he's not going to lend in the future. And we know, we've gone through this in Gittin time and again, the Chachamim wanted so much to incentivize lending. And if you're giving the borrower this kind of leverage, the lender's not going to want to lend.
But the lender is giving the guy leverage by choosing to go with a lower grade, no?
No, because what the borrower essentially can say, if Abaye is right, or if the Gemara is right, what the borrower can say is that if you want beinonis, that's fine. I'll pay you beinonis at the current market value. But if you want zibaris, I have the right to project to the future, and the future higher value, which means I can give you less property. And the lender's going to be like, no, I want you to pay me based on current market value, not on future market value. So, El Amar of Achabre, Derav Ika, Iikale, Ledmui, Lixivasisha, Medaminan. So the Gemara says, okay. So basically, I still want to use this model of being able to pay based on a projected value as opposed to the current value. So you know what? We'll use it regarding Ksuvas Isha. Ksuvas Isha Dina Biziboris, because we know the halacha is, again, this goes back to the fifth parak of Gittin, that when a man pays back the ksuva of his wife, right, either death or divorce, but, you know, right, either way, obviously by death, the estate is paying it back. But either way, when you pay the Ksuvas Isha, you pay only with Ziboris. So the Amrit Le Iu Havli Benunis Batsiporta, and let's say, she says to him, look, you know what? Pay me beinonis, but give me less beinonis. So Amar Allah, so he now has the right to say to her, look, you want Zibaros, you can collect based on the current Zibaros price. Here, it makes sense. Where now the husband, the divorced man could say to his divorced wife, look, you want beinonis? You want higher grade property? That's fine, but I'm only going to give you a higher grade property based on the projected price of the high season and not the current price of this season. And here you can understand the argument, because she's getting better property. So therefore, in other words, she's not getting the zibur, she's getting the beinonis. So here, he can project to where the price is going to be at the higher point. It does mean less property for her, but it does mean better property for her. Okay, mikol makom kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, all that was wonderful. But, and this is where we'll pause for today, and this is where we're going to pick it up tomorrow, we still haven't resolved our basic question, which is, on one hand, the Torah says that when I damage, I have to pay back with real estate, and the best real estate. And on the other hand, the Torah says that when I damage, I can pay back using anything of value. And right now, what we do not know is, how do I resolve those two psukim? Quickly recap. We did today the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. When the Torah says that I pay Meitav Sadeh or Meitav Karmo, I have to pay the best. Who's best? Rabbi Shmuel says the best of the Nizak, Rabbi Kiva says the best of the Mazdik. Although, as we already discussed earlier this morning, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, he's not an absolutist on this issue. But the halacha goes like Rabbi Kiva, in that I have to pay with the best of the Mazdik, his best property. We also saw this morning a machlokus regarding the damaging of the property of Hekdesh. If I damage the property of Hekdesh, do I have to make good on that which I damaged? So that's also machlokus tanayim, and we aligned Rabbi Kiva with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. And then finally, the rest of today's daf, going into tomorrow's daf, is going to be a discussion of when I damage somebody else's property, do I have to pay with real estate, which is one way the Torah verbalizes it. Torah says Meitav Sadeh or Meitav Kamo. On the other hand, the Torah also says Yashiv, which means I only need to pay back using anything of value. And how do I resolve those two psukim? We have so far this morning gave two suggestions. The Gemara has rejected both suggestions. One suggestion was the difference between whether I'm paying willingly or against, or whether I'm paying volitionally or against my will, and which the Gemara rejected. Another suggestion is maybe if we're going to pay the best, I pay on the current market value, or if I pay with anything less than that, so we can project to a future higher value property, which means that I'd have to only give less of it. But the Gemara does not like that at all, because then that would be a disadvantage to the aggrieved party, to the one who was damaged. And the Torah says, I cannot imagine that when the Torah wants the damager to pay, that we can basically cut him a break. So the Gemara rejected that pshat as well. And so we start tomorrow with a third attempt at explaining how to resolve this issue.